The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.'" From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known.
Thank you, Maggie. Well, in our reading this morning, it says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, that we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who comes from the Father. In this passage, Jesus is described as the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's actually what we celebrate at Christmas. At Christmas, we celebrate the good news that 2,000 years ago, God broke into time and history and came and was born and lived among us. And here in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus came that we might see his glory. Jesus came so that we might experience God's glory, which raises a good question. What do we mean when we talk about glory? Oh dear. I did not expect that at all. Okay, gosh, that's exciting. Oh my goodness. Oh wow. That is really frightening. Oh my, okay. Who exactly are you?
I am the glory hunter!
The glory hunter, wow. Well, actually, we were just talking about glory.
I know. I've got sense for these things, and I'm here to hunt out some more glory.
Well, it's probably good that we do have a glory hunter with us, because we were just actually talking about glory, because the Bible says that God is fundamentally glorious. That he's magnificent, that he's worthy of our praise, that he is spectacular, and that we are designed to enjoy God's glory.
What? That's not what glory is. Now, don't get me wrong. God's great and all, but he's really a means to an end, because we're here on this earth to get glory for ourselves.
Well, Glory Hunter, you're right about one thing, because the Bible says that each and every one of us seeks glory not in ourselves, or not in God, but in ourselves. And it might be helpful now for us to think about some of the things that we seek glory in.
Now we're talking. I love talking glory. So, mister, do you have a hot lead on where I can get some glory?
Well, Glory Hunter, there are a lot of things that we think will give us glory. And the tricky thing is, because all of us are slightly different from one another, we look for glory in different things. But usually, we look for glory in things that we think will mesmerize us, things that we are consumed by. We look for glory in the things that we wish would just fall right out of the sky. So for some of us, we wish that money would just fall right from the sky. And so it does. I bet there's a lot of bankers in Jersey that wish they could do that. So we wish that money would fall right out of the sky. And we imagine what life would be like if we could have a bit of money. We think maybe we could be a king for the day if we had just a bit of cash.
Oh yeah, I love money. Money is great. It makes you important, it gets you more things. I would do just about anything for money.
Well, you know, Glory Hunter, some of us also look for glory in looking good. We imagine if God would just make us look good, then we'd really be all about it. Oh gosh, and look, there's some good looks coming just right down from the sky. What do you know? If only we could do that. So for instance, there we go. Some of us will spend hours and hours in front of a mirror trying to look as good as we possibly can. Or we'll go to the gym and we'll work out as much as we possibly can in order to look good. Or maybe we'll just try to find that perfect accessory to make ourselves look just absolutely spectacular. Because we imagine that if we look good, well, then people take notice of us. And if people take notice of us, then we'll get a bit more glory.
finally started to feel more glorious. Look at me, notice me, I am spectacular!
Uh-huh, okay, well, moving on. Some of us seek glory in winning. We imagine if I win, then I'd be really, really successful. And so we imagine winning in everything. So whether it be sports or school, or we imagine maybe winning at work, we imagine if we were successful, if we did really well and we won, then people take notice of, then we'd have all the glory.
And that is so right. I love winning. Doesn't it just sound glorious? Winner, champion, victory. All of these words are music to my ears.
Okay, steady, steady, Glory Hunter. We still have a bit of script to go through. Winning can be fun. It's true. But for some of us, we don't really care who wins. We just really want to be liked. We imagine that if we were really liked really well, if people thought a lot of us, well, then we'd really have all the glory. We really fix these well for health and safety. So we imagine that if we were really liked really well, so we get on social media and we get as many likes and clicks as we possibly can, we make sure that our lives look better than they actually are, so that other people think that we've got the glory, that we are the ones. And that's what we imagine.
Being liked is the best. I would do anything to get other people to notice me, because when other people notice you, that's when you get the real glory.
Well, Glory Hunter, you're probably not alone in the way that you think. But the thing about all these things that we think will give us glory is a lot of them are really good things that God gives us. They're good things, but they can't really give us lasting glory. Because money, well, it has a way of running out.
Oh, yeah.
And good looks, they tend to fade.
Yeah. The future is just staring me in the face.
And winning is great until you lose.
I didn't think about that.
And even the best of friends can sometimes let us down. But at Christmas, we celebrate the wonderful good news that God himself visited our planet, that God became flesh so that we might see and experience his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus is the glorious one who came from the Father, and his glory will never come to an end because Jesus is the eternal, glorious Word of God. As we reflect on Jesus, who shows us God's glory, let's now sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That Jesus shows us God's glory. But the sad truth is that each and every one of us has turned away from God and has tried to live life on our own. Rather than enjoying God and basking in his glory, we've sought glory in other things. Rather than recognizing that Jesus deserves to be honored and magnified, each and every one of us has put ourselves first. And that's why the world that we live in is such a mess. The world that we live in is filled with 7 billion selfish people, all seeking glory for themselves.
Hey, I think you might be talking about me. I do that. I seek glory in things other than God. I put myself first.
Glory Hunter, you're not alone. Now, not all of us have a gold bow tie and gold glasses and a gold cane, but most of us are in the same boat. The Bible has a name for this condition where we put ourselves in God's place. It's called sin. Sin is when we willfully disobey God because we would rather do our own thing. And sin is when we carelessly ignore God and don't acknowledge that he is, in fact, the glorious one. Later in John's gospel, John describes our sinful condition this way, that Jesus came into the world as light, but that we loved the darkness instead of the light because our deeds were evil. And because we've chosen to glorify ourselves rather than God, each and every one of us deserves God's judgment. But there is really good news, because Jesus came not only to show us God's glory, but Jesus also came, according to John's gospel, full of grace and truth. Now, just a few moments ago, I talked about how all of us are sinful. That each and every one of us are motivated to be selfish, and we've ignored God, and we've disobeyed God. But not Jesus. See, Jesus came and he lived the perfect life. Jesus never sinned, not once. Every moment of Jesus' life was spent in God's glory perfectly. He was light all the way through. His life was perfectly true. Jesus came from heaven, and he was full of truth. He was full of truth. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate the wonderful good news that God sent his Son into the world to live the perfect life that we should have lived, to live on our behalf, to be full of truth. Jesus lived a perfectly true life. And the best news of all is that Jesus came to earth to save us. He came to take our place, to take our sin, and to take our punishment. Jesus was sent from God to be for us, full of grace. Grace means that all of God's favor and his riches come to us at Christ's expense. Jesus died so that we didn't have to take the punishment. He came and lived the perfect life that we should have lived. Or as John puts it, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing, one after another after another. And at Christmas, we celebrate the wonderful good news that God sent his Son to us to die the death we deserve and to give us grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth.
I think I want that. In fact, I think I would be willing to give up all of this stuff to have something that is true. I think I need God's grace.
Well, the good news is that God's grace and his truth are freely given to all who put their faith in Jesus, God's one and only Son, who came full of grace and truth. As we consider God's amazing kindness to us, let's now join together in prayer. And I've asked the Taylor family to lead us in prayer.
Well, let's bow our heads to pray. Father in heaven, you are the God of all glory, the one who is worthy of all our praise. You're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and are sustained. As we see the glory of your creation, we are in awe of you, and we are thankful to you for this island where many of us live. Thank you that you provide for all our needs. Thank you that you are a loving God, the God who cares for us, even though we seek glory in ourselves and not in you. So, Father, we are even more thankful that you have shown yourself to us in Jesus, your eternal Son. Thank you that he is your final word to us. Thank you that he is the light that came into the world. And thank you that through him, we can be at peace with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, thank you, sending Jesus to be born on Christmas Day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, thank you for all the fun and joy we enjoy at Christmas time. Please help those who find this time of year difficult. Please help them to see your goodness shown to us in Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we bring before you the needs of our world and our island. For those affected by the tsunami in Indonesia, please help those working to rescue and care for those affected. Please bring comfort to those injured or who have lost loved ones. For the many who are in poverty or at war this Christmas, please, Father, would you bring peace and hope? Father, we especially remember Christians living or working in the troubled areas of our world. Help them to bring Jesus' light through their example and their witness. Father, we bring before you too the needs of our local community. Please help those who lead us to make wise decisions. Please be with those who are ill today, and especially those who are in hospital. Comfort them and give peace to them and those around them. Thank you for all those who are working today to care for those in need and keep us all safe. Please encourage them and give them your joy. Thank you, Father, that you care for all our needs and that we can cast our cares on you. Please be with each of us here today. Help us to be thankful for all that you have given to us and to depend on you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we thank you for the amazing things that we see in the Bible and that have been shown to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all very much. We might have a delayed amen there. Well, as we consider God's kindness to us, I want to have one final thought for us, and this is from verse 18 of John chapter 1. It says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, and he has made him known." Jesus is God, the one and only. He's the one sent by the Father to show us God's glory. And Jesus is the only way to God. And that means that when you put your faith in Jesus, you can experience God's glory. You can benefit from Jesus' perfect record, which is credited to us. And you can receive God's grace. That's the good news that we celebrate at Christmas. But to receive this good news, it does require that we turn from the things that we think will give us glory. And we turn to the truly glorious one, who is full of grace and truth, and who gives himself to us that we might know God and enjoy every blessing that comes from God. As we reflect on the good news of at Christmas, let's celebrate with our last two carols, "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen," followed by "Joy to the World." Let's stand and sing.